Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, so rolling into hour number two. We are the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff till 7, and then we'll have coverage of the Braves and Mets. They split a doubleheader yesterday, so tonight will be the third game of the series. And as the great Satchel Paige said, don't look back, something might be gaining on you. And all of a sudden, the Braves are still in first place, but it's the Washington Nationals who are now only a half game back. So
different animal there,
yeah,
Coach.
Here they come.
I got a tweet here from B&G Farms.
All right.
Big Bulldogs. And I got to tell you, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum. This is the first one of me going back to when I was a kid. And you and I started going to the prequels and all that. And Rogue One and the new ones, you and I were there day one. First time I haven't been day one for a Star Wars movie ever. B&G says, got to see the Han Solo and was curious what you thought of it. Seeing how Han meets Chewie is great. Chewbacca steals the movie. I love Chewbacca. I mean, he and R2 and, of course, the Sith Lords are my favorite characters. But I'm just having a hard time imagining somebody besides Harrison Ford playing Han Solo. So I still have not seen it.
I did not go see it this weekend either. I did go see Deadpool 2.
The fact that I haven't seen it and that you went to go see Deadpool 2 instead of a Star Wars movie about Han Solo, I think kind of says, I think that portrays rightfully the apprehensions that we have.
It only made $85 million at the box office, which was certainly considered a disappointment for a Star Wars movie.
So was this a test balloon for them? And I think they'll probably get the picture then that it's like, yeah.
I guess it's probably a lot to do, too. And now that Disney owns the franchise, I mean, just kind of like this assembly line mass producing of these Star Wars movies. I mean, eventually you are, you know.
It's fatigue.
Yeah. I mean, the market's going to be oversaturated. And
but it's just, I mean, it's Harrison Ford was Han Solo.
Yeah, Harrison Ford is my Han Solo.
I'm Team Harrison.
Yeah, I am Team Harrison in that. But
and I'm Team Billy Dee for Lando also.
Yeah, so I'm going to. Look, when the thing comes out on like on demand, I'll go see it. But I don't have the urge to go see it in the theater. And you know, when I had my choice this weekend, I chose Deadpool 2 over Han Solo.
But
which, by the way, Deadpool 2 is fantastic.
Nice. But now I do like for me these standalones. If you want to base it on an individual guy, I'm like, do Count Dooku, do Boba Fett, who, like you said, apparently there's one that would be good.
That's the next one they announced.
Yeah, that'll be good.
So
that's
where
I wonder if this was just a trial balloon for them
to do the individual characters, because this was the first one, right? Because they've had Rogue One, they've had the two.
This was the first individual, but it's also it's on. You know, one of the, I would say, who are the three main characters? If you had to say three, is Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, and Han Solo.
Right. But like Luke, we already know his origin.
Yes.
And I guess Darth Vader, we already know his from those horrible previews that Lucas did. But,
That's a big reason I didn't go. It's just, I'm like, it's Harrison Ford.
Because that's really like in, for as much as when Lucas made Star Wars, you know, back in 77. And I guess that was what, like his set? He had done American Graffiti.
Right.
He had that THX.
That was 69.
And that was like a student movie that I think, you know, then the Francis Ford Coppola's production company ended up putting it out there. But then he did Star Wars. And at the time, like, he got Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and even got, I mean, Alec Guinness to be in that movie. That, I mean, the thing that's like kind of is the one thing that carried that is he got great actors to be in it.
He did. And Alec Guinness was the one who got the highest percentage of money because he was a famed actor. Now, Hamill was young. Ford was young. But I guess he had been in a couple of things. And Carrie Fisher obviously had the bloodlines. I think she was only like 19 or 20 when they filmed Star Wars.
She was, I think, 19. Yeah.
He also, Alec Guinness, wrote the great letter about being in that movie with rubbish dialogue.
I am not Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I'm sure because he was this famed, you know, he was in Bridge Over the River Kwai and was in all these great plays and older movies. And, yeah, but he's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. New rubbish dialogue reaches me every other day on wadges of pink paper, and none of it makes my character clear, even bearable. And then he calls, Mark Hamill and Tennyson. That can't be right. Ford, Ellison? No. He got it right with Ford, but he called him Tennyson at first, even though Harrison Ford's name.
Ford, yeah.
But anyway, he was in the movie, and he was a great actor.
But they were great actors, and it was a great storyline, too. And it was a great script.
Yeah.
Which the prequels had none of that.
No, but I don't know. With Solo, I'm just kind of at the point. I don't know that I need to rush out and see every one of these things anymore. All right, to the 5 at 5 we go now, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And, Jeff, we've talked a lot of baseball so far and even some NBA, so we'll get back to that in a little bit. But let's start out with something else. This is another moment that and look, I'm included in this group, but I do believe that Georgia fans, we are a very odd fan base. And I first brought this up when Tom Crean got hired. And not really being aware of another instance where there was an assistant coach from the previous staff that was so beloved that almost felt like Crean absolutely, it was a must that he would retain him. Now, Jonas went out and got a job at Xavier, but it was definitely an odd position for a new coach to be in. And now we've got this story where a walk-on quarterback who has never played nor would ever play a snap in Athens is transferring, and somehow this is headline news.
It's a big deal.
So explain to me why it's a big deal, because this kid, and I don't mean to degrade this kid or anything, but he was never going to play a snap here.
He might have as a fifth-year senior if Fromm and Fields both turned out to leave the same year.
Okay.
And the guy was incredible on the scout team, getting the defense ready.
He played Baker Mayfield for the Rose Bowl.
For Tech, every year they did a period. Every practice, there was a period working on Tech. And he was – you better hope. I hope he's a Georgia fan through and through. Hopefully his disdain for them would prevent
– oh, him from going there?
After the guy can play. And – the job he did getting the defense ready, the job he did running the scout team, and also I think you could tell even by Kirby's comments that he felt, even though we only have two QBs on scholarship, he felt comfortable that there were three quarterbacks he could play.
Well, that's like the question, which would be if there's a doomed day scenario where Fields and Fromm both got hurt, what does Georgia do now? And I don't mean to like put the kid down, but here's what would happen if those two guys got hurt. Georgia will have a hard time winning games this year, and that would have been the case even with Bennett.
I think the feeling is Bennett was good enough. Georgia still could have won at a high level with him. I mean, Chris, I'm just telling you, I hadn't been to a practice in years.
The guy's less than 6 feet tall, isn't he?
I think we list him at 6 feet.
Okay.
The guy's numbers in high school were unbelievable. He got offered by schools like Middle Tennessee, Southern Miss. I mean, if he was 6'3", he would have been a top 10 recruit. I'm just telling you, too, people who went out to practices in the just kept telling me they thought he was the best quarterback on the roster. The way he could play.
So then is Kirby crazy? He's not starting the best quarterback on his roster
No. I mean, they say the guy's like a little Johnny Manziel running around. He's probably more like 5'10".
Right.
And obviously, you know, Jake Fromm was unbelievable. But the guy would just torch our starting defense.
I just think we're weird. Weirdos. Because we've got 2 5-star quarterbacks, and the transfer of a walk-on is like this big headline.
It's a story. It is. I mean, the guy was unbelievable getting the defense ready with the scout team.
And those scout team guys are valuable. I remember Boss Bailey would talk about them. You know, Monday those guys didn't get their due. Yeah. You needed them, but then come Saturday you didn't.
Yep.
But they were essential to get the team prepared for their opponent, and I do respect that. But at the same time, when like one of them, if a walk-on transfers, it's like, okay, this walk-on's transferring. but not Stetson
this
Bennett.
This kid's a different animal, man. Stet the Jet.
I know.
I mean, you've seen it, the tweets from the players and everything, too.
Mecole Hardman is a big fan of his.
The guy can play.
And listen, I mean, Kirby was trying to talk him into staying, but ultimately, I guess, it's like, well, if you can go get a scholarship somewhere, you're going to do that. And if we didn't have one to offer, then so be it. But
I mean, if he's going JUCO, and I believe he is, I mean, he could come back.
If a scholarship comes open at some point.
I guess he could. But, I mean, it's one of those deals when you look at who all we've signed at quarterback. Something bad would have to happen for him to get thrown into a starting role.
Right. But like, if Fields and Fromm get hurt this season.
We'd probably put Mecole Hardman back.
Yeah, I mean, we're not gonna be very good, but there's the only team that could weather losing, like, two starting quarterbacks was Ohio State in 15 and 16.
Right.
But I mean, what other college football team could lose two quarterbacks and still end up having a productive season?
Well, hopefully we don't have to answer that question here in Athens.
No, I don't.
But
I don't
it
think
is.
So,
listen,
but.
We all know the scar tissue. It's from. We're the college football version of what the Red Sox went through before they finally broke
with
through.
The drought.
Because it's just, I mean, the Cubs were usually terrible. Most of the time, they were bad.
Yeah, the Red Sox were close.
Oh, they went to a bunch of World Series.
Yeah.
But
the Cubs weren't like – they were barely even ever making the playoffs.
Right.
A spot appearance here and there.
Yeah, but, I mean, we've been so close. And, I mean, I was saying this the other day, like, if you just said, okay, the Penn State game and the two Alabama games, I mean, that's not outlandish to say if Georgia wins all three of those –
well, they were all close losses.
Yeah, I mean, how is the history different just with those three games alone?
Then we'd probably want to be making up a few titles, too, just to keep adding to that figure.
So, I mean, I just – and it's kind of like when I told Vance that, you know, you would give me this. I go, you know, we're favored by 14 over South Carolina. He just couldn't believe it. And I said, it's going to take us winning a natty and having about three more years like last season to get comfortable with that.
Well, what did he think when you told him we were laying 15, although that number was bet down to 13?
I just couldn't believe it.
But
I mean, because here's the thing. I mean, even as great as we were, I mean, with Herschel, I mean, we played a lot of close games. The 82 team, we went 11-0 in the regular season. We trailed in 7 of those 11 games.
Yeah, last year, what, we trailed in the Notre Dame game and then against Auburn.
Yeah.
That's
but
it, right?
In the regular season, in the 12 regular season games, those are the only two games we were behind.
Didn't have a lead. No,
like,
Kentucky led us briefly,
they did,
didn't they?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. So that's three games we were behind.
Yeah. They were up like 3-0 or something.
But in two of the – okay, so in the 11 regular season wins, we never trailed by a touchdown.
No.
I think the most we were ever down was maybe – did Notre Dame maybe get up on a 7-3? But, yeah, we were never down by more than 3-4 points in the 11 regular season wins.
Yeah.
So.
And the majority of them we were up by multiple touchdowns.
I mean, it's – and I mean, part of it, too, I think with Georgia, when you kind of look at the big picture, I think it's – I know during the Civil War, Georgia was called the breadbasket of the South. And a lot of that just had to do with where we're located. And we got a harbor to the Atlantic Ocean, border South Carolina, North
mountains.
Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida. We got mountains. Well, now we got the Atlanta airport. A lot of people live down here. It's a great state. Probably California is the only other state that could offer the diversity. I mean, you think if you drove from St. Simon's Island up to, say, Blairsville, right, it's just an incredible state.
Yeah, the only thing we don't have is, I guess, desert.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Although there are parts of that southwest Georgia.
a little bleak.
But so you got the Atlantic. We are right in the middle of everything. And then because we got the three natural rivals, unlike anybody else. And then you got South Carolina wanting us every year, Tennessee wanting us every year. You know, what the beast that Bama's become under Saban. Florida State, even though we don't play them, they're right on our doorstep. We're just surrounded by all these schools. So even though we have all these built-in advantages, I mean, for us to win big, we really have to have a beast of a team. And that's what's so uplifting about what Kirby's doing with what he's doing in recruiting. We've never been recruiting like this. I mean, we've had great classes. Like obviously, the 80 class is the best in school history. The 98 class was great. But to do what we've done back-to-back years and to be putting one together like we've got coming up here, you have to have, I mean, a beast of a team to be able to survive what we're going to face every year.
Which brings me back to my original point of us being a weird fan base, is all that we've done in recruiting the last 2 years, a walk-on quarterback is transferring.
It's
a huge deal.
It is.
But Stet the Jet, best of luck and don't go to Tech.
Good God Almighty.
But you gotta think a guy.
No, he ain't
a kid that came here and could have had a scholarship somewhere else already. If he liked Georgia that much, would not do that.
He wouldn't do that.
By then, Paul Johnson will probably be fired anyway. I think his act is worn thin on them.
Need to beat them bad. If he does get fired after this, it'd be nice to send him out with a beatdown.
Yeah, but I mean, Tech is in a really tricky spot with him, though, because when they do eventually fire him, I mean, they're going to be bad for a while.
It'll take him a couple of years.
Especially on offense, to get that roster turned over. They're going to have to go the grad transfer route, bringing some QB. Jeff, moving on in the 5-5. All right, let's talk some Georgia baseball now with the regionals coming up this weekend. We got Duke, Troy, and the Camels of Campbell, whose camel mascot is nicknamed Gaylord the Camel. Mm-hmm. We assume after Gaylord Perry, since their baseball stadium is named for his brother Jim,
who went to school there.
Yeah. I guess Gaylord went straight to the pros.
Yep. Jim was an excellent pitcher, too.
Yeah. And Gaylord was rubbing Vaseline on the ball, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was doing some stuff.
But he was.
Didn't keep him out of the Hall of Fame,
no,
though, did it?
In fact, there was a great picture of him back in the early 80s when he had gone over, I guess, 3,000 strikeouts. It was Gaylord.
Yeah, okay.
He was a great pitcher.
Was that for the KY jelly he would rub on the ball?
I think it was double entendre.
Or was it the petroleum jelly that he would rub on
there? He pitched for the Braves for a year. I'm like, oh, my gosh, they got Perry with the spitball and Necro with the knuckleball.
Yeah. That was a good tandem.
Yeah.
Phil's brother was famously
was
had
the Emery board.
The Emery board.
It was one of the great just what?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's not my
something
name.
Went flying out of his pocket and the umpire saw it. But all right, break down the regional here and Georgia's chances. Of course, Campbell's up first. They're the 4 seed. Georgia should win that game, obviously.
We should. It is baseball and they've got a couple of pretty guards, but they don't have a guy who's like 10-0, which makes you feel good. Their best player, just looking through their numbers, a guy named Matthew Barefoot, which is a great name too. Guy's got 31 stolen bases and is hitting, I think he was hitting 360. Let me see here, sir. 357. And 31 out of 36 running with 7 home runs. Also got a guy with 18 homers named Christian Jones. But again, it's a game Georgia should win. Now, Chase Adkins, I love him. He's had a tremendous year for Georgia. He's not a hard thrower, so kind of his style of pitching might be something they're used to. But this is a game. It's kind of like those midweek games that Georgia's been so dominant in. The offense is going to need to carry the load for this one to lessen the pressure on Georgia. But the best thing about the Dogs, Georgia hadn't beaten itself this season. Then you're talking about Duke. They got a couple of really good arms. They're kind of new to the big-time baseball scene. And you got Troy. And those guys can hit. To me, and I'm not trying to jinx anything, Troy is the team that could be that fly in the ointment.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Duke. They went to the they were in the tournament in 2016, and that was the first time they'd been in it since 1961.
Good gosh.
And they went 0-2 at South Carolina.
I mean, they used to be awful.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I mean, they had never been, and then they went, man, this is twice now in the last 3 years that they're in it. But it's a long way from, we talked about Arkansas's draw.
Oh, my gosh.
And Ole Miss's draw. I mean, Tennessee Tech, I guess, isn't a regular or anything, but Arkansas getting Southern Miss over there.
Oral Roberts and Dallas Baptist, I mean, those two are the best mid-majors.
Yeah. You know, overall, I think what Georgia's regional, Georgia's the number 8 national seed. And I think when you look at what Ole Miss and Arkansas got as far as draws, I mean, Florida, you get, they're the number 1 overall seed. They should have a bit of an easier time in their regional. But I think Georgia got a better regional draw than Arkansas and Ole Miss did.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that Arkansas draw, I wouldn't bet against them in Bomb Stadium. That had to be some kind of punishment, though, for their road record being below 500. That's brutal.
And then the Rebels get Tennessee Tech sent there. And Tennessee Tech should be, if they're going to be a two seed, they should be getting sent to, you know, like one of the non-top eight national seeds. I mean, send them to Stetson.
I'll say this, too. We played that crazy game with Ole Miss. And at the point you're competing, would you rather win? Yeah. Going into this regional now, I'd rather be in Georgia's shoes having lost two straight than at Ole Miss's shoes having won the SEC tournament.
Yeah, and I'd rather not be playing Tennessee Tech also, or potentially have to play him as the two seed.
I mean, that tournament, it's always a grinder, but especially with all the weather delays this past weekend.
Yeah.
Ole Miss has got to be – that's not to say they're not going to go win the thing and they might wind up in Omaha. And listen, I have strong feelings for Ole Miss. I love Oxford, Mississippi. I love going there. It's my second favorite college. But, well, Ole Miss and Pepperdine. But, I mean, just to win that thing, especially this year with the length of the games and the delays and all that, I'm just – they still might win. That had to take a brutal toll on them. So then, and they had to come through the loser's bracket.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Did they play Tuesday? No, they didn't have to play till Wednesday, but they did.
They lost Wednesday, beat us.
Yeah, they blew that game to Auburn.
They had to play every day.
Yeah.
So they've played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They just played five straight days.
Yeah. They kept rolling, and now they got Tennessee Tech. I guess it does. It balances out because we do have a much tougher three seed than they do.
I agree.
They get Missouri State, and we have Troy, but their two seed is, I think, the toughest two seed out there that any region got.
Don't be surprised if you see a surprise score from the Oxford Regional. And I like
first
Ole Miss.
Game,
I'm pulling for them.
Again, you think the Billikens, St. Louis, or is that the Cardinals? What if the Cardinals showed up
it's
instead?
Like, whoa, hey.
Listen to what we bargained for. Jeff, the NBA Finals are now set.
Geniuses.
And as two guys who called,
geniuses,
who nailed it, we said last summer.
Are you Einstein or am I Einstein or are you Edison? I can't remember how it
goes. I'm Tesla.
You're Tesla?
I'm Nikola Tesla.
All right, I'll go Da Vinci then.
But we called it last summer. We said Golden State and Cleveland would be in the finals. So I think as the experts here, who do we think is actually going to win the NBA Finals now, and how long will it take them to do it?
Magic 8-Ball say Golden State in five.
Yeah, I think Golden State in 5-2, and the only reason they won't sweep is because that they'll deliberately throw a game just so they can win it in Oakland back at home.
You know what?
And make
else?
Cleveland like make LeBron have to get on a plane and fly cross country just to get a beating.
He might just skip that out. You know what? I mean, and these are 2 and 4 seeds, by the way. We didn't just ride the old that we picked before last season. Teams that wound up being the second and the fourth seeded teams out of their respective conferences, and they are playing for the title. That puts us right up there with the likes of Jim Feist and Wayne Allen Root.
We're so good at this, too, that we're going to go ahead and predict that next year in the NBA Finals, you will see the Golden State Warriors battle against the team that LeBron plays for next season.
And that includes the Houston Rockets, because if he goes there, they will change the format.
They will move to the Eastern Conference, or they will, yes, they'll change the format.
They'll
the
seed it 1 through 16.
Yeah.
Which is, as we've talked many times, I don't want to go straight tangent here, a natural dilemma that pro sports faces, and that often, and I mean, I'll just go back to Brady and Manning, your two best teams are on the same side and can't meet in the biggest game or series.
Yeah, which did happen this year. The two best teams were the Rockets and Golden State.
Now, like in college, now, and I get it. It used to be, you know, with the bowls, if you know, like if when Nebraska and Texas in '83 were both locked in, they were 1 and 2. They both lost, by the way. Oh, yes, they did. But you know, in college, hoops, baseball, football, there's a good chance the two best teams are going to play for the title, or it at least could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like it happened in football this past year.
Yeah. Even though one of them didn't even win their division.
That's true. Shouldn't have even been there. But I mean, in pro sports, so could Adam Silver and the NBA be the ones who find the way?
Well, they're busy looking for that integrity fee first.
I love it. Is integrity fee, is that just naturally one of those, you know, kind of like jumbo shrimp.
Well, that's why they're, you know, it's all about, you know, framing.
What's that word? I'm sorry. I've been.
Oxymoron.
Oxymoron. Yeah. I'm a moron. I've been zoned out for 3 days.
You're an oxymoron.
Yes, I am. But I mean, it's that, I need an integrity fee. Isn't that something that Tony Soprano used to get?
Well, yeah, that, which is why I think, like, it's all semantics and it's all about the way you frame stuff. So probably when it comes to pass, it'll be, instead of being termed an integrity fee, they'll dub it a royalty fee.
Okay.
So you'll be getting a royalty instead of an integrity fee. Because really, you think about, well, if the NBA and these leagues are going to profit off of gambling, then they would have an incentive to make all their series go 7 games, because those would be like, you know, just keep the heavy betting rolling in, right?
It's a slippery, slippery slope.
Finally, Jeff, not that this total is really any different than the ones that first started floating out there from the those little places in the Caribbean, but an actual place located in Las Vegas, Nevada over the weekend did put out win totals for, I think, every single college football program in the country. Georgia at 10.5 coming off of, Georgia won 13 games last year, but the 10.5 is only for the 12 regular season games. Georgia went 11-1. Georgia 10.5 next year. Jeff, will you take the over or the under? Now, keep in mind, Stetson Bennett is transferring.
11-1, baby.
Okay, so even with Bennett transferring, we're still going to go 11-1?
Maybe 12-0.
Okay.
Got to beat Tech.
All right. Got to beat them. I think we will.
Okay.
We'll beat those guys pretty badly, too.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
48-20?
If they get 20, I'll be disappointed. They got 7 last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They should get 0 this year.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, the 5-5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. 41-0.
Now we're talking. I'll figure that one out in my head.